Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Like, you're going to die someday, right?
Would I like to be in the hospital right now rather than be here? Yes. Have I ever thought about that? Yes. Right now, I'm thinking about hospitalization.
And the Bulldog.
I've thought about it a few times. There's been a few times, like right now, where I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm here.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Like, I'm over here, and I'm doing what I just did, but it goes badly. And, like, I bang the table, and then, like, I just look at you, and, like, I can't breathe, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about it. Like, I know exactly what I would do.
Four start talking about
simple words. I on fantasy.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We're talking about Dak Prescott a little bit earlier. And so if the Cowboys do nothing, he's UFA?
Right, yeah. He is. There was not a fifth-year option for him because he was a fourth-round pick. So, they would have to tag him, which there'd be a deadline for that before free agency opens. They have to do that, or I guess they could transition tag him instead, but they'd have to use a tag on him, or he just hits the open market if they don't get something together with him. I mean, I just can't fathom that's going to be the outcome.
Me neither. They'll do something.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it doesn't sound like they're in a good place as far as getting a contract done. So one of those tags, I think, is probably where you would end up.
SpotTrack has a feature called calculated market value,
mm-hmm.
and his is $33 million annually. Comparable players, Wentz, Goff, Rodgers, Wilson. Wentz, average salary, Wentz, $32 million, Goff, $33.5 million, Rodgers, $33.5 million. Wilson, $35 million. Prescott is in that class. I don't like object to that. I mean, for me, he's good. So I think that's all reasonable.
I think he's good.
What if they don't? Like, what if they don't?
I mean, they could. What could they do? They could go sign Tom Brady. Right? They could go sign Philip Rivers. They could trade for Cam Newton. There might be more than ever options for them, but none of them are better than paying Dak Prescott his fair market value. And I don't either. I think if you balk at that, it's because he was a fourth round pick. And that's not...
It's meaningless.
Right, that's not a good way to do it. But if you do... Then I think that's where you're starting. If you're being honest, like you're starting from, he's a fourth round pick. He can't be that good, but he's produced. I think I was pretty late to appreciating him as a player. This year was the year where really watching him, and not just against the Bills. I mean, the Bills, that was a pretty comfortable, convincing win. He put up big numbers in the game ultimately, but the Bills were the better team that day. I think, but other games this year, I know I watched and went like, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. I'm not objecting anymore to him being someone who deserves to be paid like that. The thing that I guess I would wonder about with him is whether or not, because he was a fourth round pick, so he's been making like $750,000 a year for 4 years, whether... there or he is intent on sort of, retroactively getting right and thus inflating the dollar figures beyond that $33 million figure and looking for more because he's been underpaid, which, this is how it goes, man. You were a fourth round pick. Here's what your market value is now. You should be paid like that. And that's it. There's no making up for lost time. You were a fourth round pick. That's it.
Yeah, I don't.
And I don't know. And I'm just supposing. Like, what could be the problem here? You know, it's the Dallas Cowboys. They've got other guys to pay, certainly, but who's more important than the quarterback?
Well, they don't. They just may not think he's worth it. And there would probably be lots of fans who would say that. Prescott is not everybody's favorite. Bill Barnwell is a guy I read a lot and have read for years and really like. And he has been on Prescott versus Wentz, maybe just to be responding to other people bringing it up. I don't know, but like I think of him. And like he's basically, Prescott has always been better than Wentz. And the first year, I think that was not the majority opinion. And then the second year, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And like the whole time, then Wentz came down and it was like, oh, maybe he's right. But if Spotrac's numbers here are he should be paid the same as Carson Wentz, like I think that that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody would think that. And a lot of people think it might be outrageous to think Prescott is as good or better than Carson Wentz. I don't know. The Cowboys signed Elliott, and that might be a huge point. That might be like the key to figuring out what their philosophy is or what their thinking is. And that was last year. It was late in the offseason, mm-hmm. but still. Like, they did that, and they had Amari Cooper already. You know, there was going to be a choice there. There still is a choice there, too. I just think, like, I don't know. As a host here with you, I always have an instinct to not do the same topics, like, over and over. Whatever we did last time is a bad idea this time, even if, like, lots of times you don't need to think that way.
Right, we're just talking.
But I just do. Yeah. If it's interesting, then it's interesting. And this quarterback, this potential shuffling of quarterbacks around the league, I mean, I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the anticipation for like 3 weeks from now, whenever it is that officially starts, is super sexy. Ryan McDowell is a fantasy writer who I follow, and he put a chart up today of all the teams and who their quarterback is, QB1. And he's got guys who are just listed, like Josh Allen for the Bills. He's got guys with a yellow highlight behind it, which means could be replaced. And then he's got blank spaces for teams like Dallas because Prescott is up in less than a month. And then a box for free agents. Teams that have blank spaces, Dallas, alphabetical order, LA Chargers, a team that could be good if they get that right. They're not at least necessarily going into the draft here. They could sign, mm-hmm. they have Tyrod Taylor for starters. They could sign someone else. They probably will. New England. I mean, come on. New Orleans. Still not official, I guess. New Orleans, even though it has sounded like it's going to be Breeze again.
Yeah, Breeze announced on Instagram he was coming back. I mean, so I'm just assuming that I wouldn't leave them blank anymore. But
fine. I agree. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has good players. Like, they have not been to the playoffs in a long time. I think they're on the second longest drought maybe in the league behind the Browns. But Tampa Bay, not lost or anything. And Tennessee. Those are the six teams. Tampa Bay is the only team there that's like bad, but they're not even that bad. And the Chargers were just kind of strangely bad this year after being good for years. So look at those six teams. Like they're New England and New Orleans. I mean, you don't have teams that like where the Bills were a couple of years ago, where of course they're drafting someone.
Right.
There's nobody here to play the position. They're starting over. Where's that? So you do have other teams then with the highlight on his chart, like the Bears, who could be in that situation, or Indianapolis seems to be in that situation, right, where they could be starting over. Miami could do that. Miami's going to draft somebody probably and do that. So I can't get enough of it. All the things that are possible here. If you're Dallas, we've talked about this with New England as the focus many times. Or even Tampa Bay. Like Tampa Bay has come up. We've talked about them like this. And the Chargers. What is Dallas thinking the other, like, plan B is? I don't know. Maybe Brady is a possibility, but I've not heard Dallas ever.
Not one mention of
that. Not really, right? No. Like, it's thrown in.
No,
but
it's just why you would say it now in this conversation. It's the first name I would say because they're Dallas, right? But, you know, I just can't. I can't imagine them refusing to pay Prescott whatever is reasonable and then turning around and handing Brady $30 million. I mean, but I don't know.
At least it would be 1 year, though.
Right.
Probably.
I mean, so maybe they think that that's a better way to go. I don't know. I think that's pretty, that'd be nuts. But I guess I feel like if they got to a point, there are still a few weeks before free agency does get here. And if they were to get to a point where they've got to decide, because they're not going to get a long-term agreement done with Prescott, maybe they would get in, want to feel that out, like get some contact and see if Brady would be open to going there. Because it's the Dallas Cowboys, you know, it's the biggest franchise in the world. And like, he's the biggest name ever in free agency if he gets there.
And they have a great offense. Now, the quarterback has a lot to do with that. But they have, like, if Brady's looking for, what about Dallas would he not like as an idea?
The line is great.
Everything about it's great.
Running back is great. If they keep Cooper, we've got other guys. Like, they're all set.
I think the Cowboys would look like chumps, but again, like, that is not going to be unanimous because it's Tom Brady if that actually happened. So I wonder, like, apart from him, say he's not a candidate or consideration, what is plan B for Dallas? Like, could it be Tannehill? Could it be Winston? You just go to the list?
Rivers, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, or he's indie, but do you just go to the list then? If you can't, like, how do you want this to play out? If Prescott doesn't come to your demands, you just tag him, you can do that.
Right.
And then he either plays or sits, I guess, whatever, that he's still your property.
Right, but you would need another plan. Like, if he were to sit out on the franchise tag because he's upset that that's the end result here, then you would still need to do something else. So, I mean, I don't know. I think you should just start going down the list and try to find a fit.
Mariota.
I mean, man, I don't know. I'm inclined to not take any of it seriously at all. I mean, they did this dance with Elliott right up to the season and then got it done. They folded and paid him. And they, you know, in my opinion, definitely overpaid for a running back, but they did it. And to not, it's hard for me to imagine them not getting that done with their quarterback. Like, how unreasonable the ask is or whatever, like, that they will just find their way to get it done. Because the guy is good and he's young and you're all set for 6-7 years if you do this right. I think he's that good. I mean, I don't know. It would surprise me if there were that much of a debate about it, I guess. Like, you're alluding to, like, that not everyone would think that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, before this year, I think last year I might have said, what? He's going to be paid like one of the best guys in the league? I don't know. I'm not ready for that. So, you know, it took me a little longer. So maybe there are people out there thinking that. I don't know. It just doesn't sound like something the Cowboys would have happened to them. You know, they've got a great player. They will pay him.
We'll see. I can't wait. I love every rumor. It's like hockey used to be. I love every rumor. I love every scenario. I want to hear every conversation and read every article. On Twitter today, I read something else that I thought was pretty smart. Not about football.
Okay.
Zachary Levine, baseball writer, used to be Baseball Prospectus, wrote a great essay on the Astros a few years ago that just loved it. He tweeted, let me get it.
Okay.
Because word for word might be important here.
All right. Well, let's make sure we're being thorough. Is it about the Astros again? No. Okay.
He writes, settle an argument for me. You're playing your first game on Jeopardy. It's going into Final Jeopardy. You have $20,100, and each of your opponents has $10,000. So you don't have to wager. Like, if you wagered zero, you would win.
Right.
Which most people do in that situation.
Right.
They'd wager less than $100 because they'd have no chance of losing.
Right.
But you're a baseball fan. You happen to be a baseball fan that reads Zachary Levine. Like, you know, you're above me when it comes to baseball.
All right.
Like, you're me plus. What's your wager? A, $99 or less to assure victory. B, all of it. On Jeopardy, you get all the money if you win. So if you were to bet it all on your favorite subject, this is not a baseball question, this is a Jeopardy question. If you were to bet it all on the subject you think you know the most about.
Okay, I missed that part of this. It's a subject that you are 100% confident in your ability in.
Yeah, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't say that. In his tweet, he writes, the final Jeopardy category is baseball. I might not have said that.
Okay.
So the category is your absolute best subject. And if you double your money, you go to $40,000. You win $20,000 more than you had or than you otherwise would.
Right.
Or do you just bet $99 and assure victory? And on Jeopardy, you also come back the next day if you win. So you
right.
could win again.
So if I blow it, if for some reason, even as well as I am confident in my ability to likely know the answer.
Yes.
But if I miss, I lose, I don't get any money.
No, right. If
right.
you lose,
like
you get the baking soda.
I busted. That's it. I get some Rice-A-Roni. No, I'm betting the $99. No matter what. For me, the subject could be
Wilco,
the history of the Clash, something.
The right? Final Jeopardy is the Clash.
It's the Clash. I would tell you that as great as I think my knowledge is on that subject, there are still things that pop up every now and then on social media that I have not seen or read or consumed about them. And I think I've made an effort. Like, I seek that stuff out. I've bought lots of books. I've read a lot of stuff. I've watched everything I think that I could possibly watch, like DVD or Netflix or whatever, Apple TV. I've done it. But every now and then something pops up on some, you know, feed that I follow, and I go, well, I didn't know that.
Right.
And,
or you forgot.
Right. Could, yeah. And I would be worried that this is going to be a thing that I think I know everything about, but I don't know that. So I don't think I would want to get there. That is probably the subject I would feel the most confident about.
Yeah, you know, like, and it could be a subject, maybe, like a particular band, unless it's like the Beatles. Is probably not a Final Jeopardy subject.
Right.
But if you're just playing this out, there's two different kinds of subjects here that would maybe be important. One is like something super specific that only you would know, probably. You know, what? Shope family trivia.
Well, okay,
The category is Shope family.
Right.
And so, okay, not only am I likely to know the answer? Although last night I did forget my grandfather's name in a conversation with Brian Brom before starting to drink. I would probably get the answer right, and my opponents probably would not.
Right.
Baseball, come on. You could be a baseball trivia expert. There's a lot you don't know.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah, it's a much broader subject than even what I'm suggesting. Right.
Right. So I voted $99, but I'm a little bit mad at myself for that.
Yeah.
Because that's an opportunity to win $20,000 by answering one question on your favorite subject right. And wouldn't you think that you'd probably be right? You just wouldn't have the courage or
right.
the, I don't know.
Right. Because
maybe you could say the smarts.
Well, because you're losing $20,000 if you are wrong.
You're losing
that, and that,
at least that much.
Right. So that's... I mean, that's significant enough to me to say, look, fine. It's still a good day. I won $20,000, even if I blow this.
That's a pretty good day.
Right. It's a pretty good day. And I come back tomorrow and, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'll fight another day. Whereas, you know, if for some reason there's some question about some obscure guy from the St. Louis Browns that I don't remember.
Hey, I'm wearing a St. Louis Browns shirt right now.
Like, yikes, you know?
Did you know that?
No, I can't.
I'm wearing my St. Louis Brown shirt. It's really, it's faded.
You wow, probably, it is. Yeah.
This is my number one t-shirt.
It just looks like a gray t-shirt.
Yeah, it is.
The coming back tomorrow is the deciding factor for me. If Jeopardy were set up where it's just that show, that's it, then I think I'm taking the risk. But I'm coming
right.
back tomorrow, I'm definitely 99 or fewer.
To win the game. Like, you are assured
yeah,
of winning the game.
I'm winning the game. I'm going to come back and win another 20,000 tomorrow
wouldn't
and
you
then
be,
another 20 after.
Wouldn't you be so mad, though? Like, if the question
oh,
is...
Oh, sure.
baseball is your number one subject. The category is baseball. You play it safe.
Yeah.
To assure the win. And the answer is he has the most home runs in baseball history.
Right.
Like, you'd be so mad. You wasted $20,000 by not.
Yep.
But I'd have a counter. I'd be like, okay, but I'm still coming back tomorrow. Like, I still have a reason to feel good.
I know, but tomorrow's Final Jeopardy category will be hieroglyphics.
Right. Maybe. Right. But then again, if
and you're behind.
If I say I'm not doing it, I'm going 99 or less, and then it's a question I have no idea about, I'm feeling great.
If you bet at all, though, it's, you know, easy for me to say. In the spot, I am probably doing what you guys are doing. That's what I voted. However, if you bet, you're in the spot and you bet it all, right or wrong, you're a legend. I mean, you're wrong. They forget about you in a few minutes. It's very brief. And people in your life will know that you did this. And
right.
You squandered $20,000 because you didn't, you chose to just be super gambly
right.
in that moment. But, you know, if you're right, like Holzhauer, he was such a powerhouse because like he was always that way. I don't know if he ever had a Final Jeopardy like this where he had to do this, but in his gameplay, he was always bet it all, bet it all, bet it all. Start right from the bottom, highest price, clues, and just like daily doubles, all of it, all of it, all of it. And he was more than just, I mean, I would say, he was more than just a winner. He was a legend. He was a superstar because he was like just completely, all his chips were always in the middle. And like, you know, here, that would be you.
Yeah.
You, the category is my number one subject. I am confident that I will be right. I'm putting all my chips in. If I'm wrong, you know, I'm a bum.
Yeah. I guess I'm probably revealing something about myself, but I don't think I would be that eager to chase that glory. Whatever. I won $20,000.
Yep. And I could win more.
Right. I could win more tomorrow and, you know, great. You know, if tomorrow's Final Jeopardy is trigonometry, well, I made a mistake. You know, but fine.
But you still will have won.
Yeah, right. I still will have won the $20,000, and you know,
what would you do with it?
I'd be happy with that. Remodel my kitchen.
Really?
Yeah, it's the number one thing on the board in the Parker House by miles.
Capital improvement.
It has been.
You already have the tall toilet.
It has been talked about for.
That's right.
15 of the 20 years we've lived in the house,
yeah.
And I've managed to just sort of, you know, just sort of Heisman it, just sort of like, would-be tacklers are being left in my wake. I just keep getting away, but the time is coming. So yeah, if I were to fall into like that kind of, even half that much money, that is absolutely what would happen with it. No question about it.
I'd bet it all on the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Stanley Cup.
You wouldn't bet it all on Final Jeopardy, but you would bet it on futures, hockey futures.
Hockey
that
futures
goes well.
Bets, yes.
How do those bets go last year? Right. They were the clear favorite last year, out in four. Zachary Levine is the writer whose question we're discussing. I retweeted the tweet. 2/3-ish of voters went for the $99, but 1/3 of his baseball fan followers said,
right.
At least, you know, they're not really playing.
Right. They're not actually doing it, but they're saying they would. Right. All right. We'll get lots more for you as we roll along here. I don't know. We're still.
Evan.
Oh, Evan. Oh, yeah, that's right. Evan Abrams is coming up after this update. Right here, I want to talk to you about DeLacy Ford. You know, 75 years, a long time to do anything, so it's no wonder DeLacy Ford is super excited to celebrate 75 years of serving Western New York. DeLacy's been doing it the right way from the very beginning, and they're kicking out their 75th anniversary the right way, too. They've got auto show deals on their most popular models. Now, I'm a truck guy, but if you're not, hey, that's cool. DeLacy Ford is not only your F-150 dealer, but they're your home for SUVs. And right now, we're talking about 0% financing, flex buys, and zero down lease deals on the entire lineup of SUVs at DeLacy. That includes EcoSports, Escapes, The Edge, Explorers, and Expeditions. Plus, for DeLacy's 75th anniversary, you get the DeLacy Advantage. What that means is 2 years of complimentary maintenance, oil changes, tire rotations, and more, all covered for 2 years. It's DeLacy's way of saying thank you for helping them serve you for 75 years. So get on out to DeLacy Ford today and celebrate 75 years of serving Western New York. You can cash in.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In on the auto show savings I mentioned, and get into a Ford truck or SUV of your own today. DeLacy Ford, they're first for Ford, first for trucks, and first for you.
Players want to come play for the Raiders, I think, because of the silver and black in their tradition to start with, but the stadium, the excitement, Las Vegas, it really gives us, I think, an outstanding vehicle to recruit players, and hopefully it all works out for us.
John Gruden, will the Raiders have a new quarterback? How many teams will? More importantly, how can I make money off of this? Evan Abrams from the Action Network here to help, as always. Hi, Evan.
How's it going, guys? Ready to run into March like a train. Let's get rolling.
Let's go.
Right, I love it.
March Madness. Can I say that? I don't know. The NCAA tournament, I think I can say that. It's coming up.
There you go.
We're a couple weeks away. We'll start to see the conference tournaments pretty soon here, Evan. Any certain philosophies you want to share on that, like leading up to the tournament, whether it's, you know, big conference, mid-majors, anything, favorites, underdogs, what kind of trends do you tend to like?
Well, I mean, listen, I think it always depends on the conference and kind of depends on play heading into the tournaments for some of those. But, I mean, I'm always a proponent in trying to find a dark horse in all these conference tournaments. They actually start on Tuesday, so you're getting right into the action right now. And I think in the middle of these conferences, there's always the 5-1, 6-1, 7-1 teams that kind of come out of nowhere. Now, these big squads, these Daytons, these San Diego States, I mean, I just think there's no value in them in playing to these conference tournaments. And I think upsets do end up happening, especially a little bit later on if these, you know, Daytons make it to the Final Four or, you know, the championship game of their conference tournament. I'm just looking at some dogs. So I'm with you all around there.
Yeah, love it. Always it's about the value, right? It's always about the price, always about the value. No certain thing has to happen. When we brought you on, we talked about, just for a minute there, like the quarterback shuffle that we may see in the NFL, and I think we talked about this last week. What's the latest on these odds? And maybe have there been any changes? Brady and Rivers, and are there other quarterbacks you can also guess at?
Well, yeah, listen, the biggest news over the last 24 hours has been Tom Brady. I think as we spoke last week, he was about minus 350 to minus 380 to go back to the Patriots. And that was really the line that had set at opening and had been really staying pretty stagnant for weeks and weeks. And then all of a sudden, we saw an absolute falling out yesterday. And the Patriots are now down to minus 145 to keep him. So if you believe that Brady is destined to stay in New England and finish out his career there, that is some pretty low odds.
Right.
Take a wager on if you believe it. But when you look kind of behind New England, you've got the Raiders now at plus 450, the Colts at plus 650, the Chargers at 7-1, and the Titans at plus 750. So those are really your four contenders to potentially take Brady out of Foxborough.
Tennessee is the lowest of those teams. It seems like I've heard, at least lately, the most about them. It's kind of interesting. If I had... Let's see. Let's play it out, Bulldog. If I had $100 here on this, I would bet like whatever to make the math work, whatever the number would have to be, 7250 or something on New England, or whatever that number would be, and then the rest on Tennessee. What do you think?
Sure. I mean, that's a way to, you know, try to, you know, win either way, I guess, right? What how would you go right now on that, Evan?
Honestly, I'm a huge Tennessee guy. I kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's 750. It has good value. I have no interest in Vegas at 450. I think that's just a bit of smoke and mirrors. I just don't see Brady as the flashy guy heading to Vegas to start the franchise there. Now, I understand Carr and Gruden, and Gruden's going to stand by him until the day he's out the door. But I just, you know, from an emotional standpoint, guys, I want him to go to the Colts. I think that would be the funniest and best story of the offseason to watch Tom Brady, you know, play in the place that he used to beat Peyton Manning in. So I think that would be a lot of fun. I think the Chargers is a decent story because of the L.A. thing. But I think from a team standpoint, it's Chargers and Titans to me that actually kind of make the most sense.
And the Colts do have also the Deflategate history.
Yeah,
if you want that.
They do. I mean, yeah, you can't ever escape that if you're him. Come on now.
Right.
How about Rivers? Has there been any movement?
Rivers, not so much. I think with Rivers, you're more waiting for news to happen than anything else, right? I mean, the thing that makes it really tough with Rivers is I think it's more of a domino play. I really do. I think a lot of people are going to be sitting back and kind of waiting to see where a few other people show up before he makes a decision. And I also think with Rivers, the thing that you kind of are seeing, retirement might be an option. So I don't see that so much with Brady. So I do think with Rivers, it's more of a domino effect.
Is there a way to do anything with how many quarterbacks you think might be changing spots, or is that too vague to get? Because that's my favorite thing about this. Like, is there anywhere an over under on how many guys change? Like, if you grab a pool of 10 of them, do 6 of them change spots? Like, is there a way to do anything like that, or is that too out there?
Yeah, that's not really a legal market type thing. I think when you get closer to, I believe it's like the 14th or 16th of March, when these guys can actually start negotiating with teams, you might get some offshore books that might, you know, put some fun things together. But I think you're mostly going to see, you know, where will Jameis sign? Where will Brady sign? Where will they play in week one? I mean, the biggest thing, and I think the funnest quarterback to talk about is probably Jameis. Because if he doesn't end up back in Tampa, I mean, people have the ceiling, and they talk the ceiling about him. And obviously we know the 20 interceptions, but, I mean, I just think the talent is just such off the board. So I think teams are willing to more take a shot on him.
With Evan Abrams from the Action Network, have you got any, of course you do, XFL action this weekend?
Of course I do. Come
on. Of course
on.
You
I mean,
do.
Come on. We're heading into week. Listen, if you're going to make a futures bet right now in this league heading into week 4, I honestly think the best thing you can do is take either the Battle Hawks or the Defenders. Now, I would probably lean more on the Battle Hawks. I took them at 10-1 last week. I believe they're down to about 6-1, but I still think they're probably the second best team in the league, and you still are probably getting the best odds on them, as I do see them falling. The actual single game wager that I would make this week, I like the Guardians. I like them over a touchdown. Right now you can get them at +8. And it's funny because they are playing the Wildcats, a team I like sort of in value for a future. But the Wildcats were 0-2 heading into week 3. They were considered one of the worst teams in the league. They closed a 10-point home favorite against underdog to the Defenders. And things worked out the other way. Wildcats 39-9 blowout. So I just think this week at home, the Guardians have been playing awful, but I'm going to take over the touchdown, as home field has really turned out to be a major factor in the league.
Wonder why.
I mean, it's just really crazy. Every week you're seeing it, that these home crowds are really impacting these games.
You know what?
And the people are still showing up. Yeah.
It might be intentional. I mean, it might be. Home advantage in sports is about officiating. Like, that's what the data has always shown. And if you're trying to get a league off the ground, wouldn't you want people to leave happy? I don't know. Like, I'm not watching these games, but maybe I'd bet. Do you have home teams against the spread?
I don't in front of me, but they've been rolling. I mean, they've been winning week in and week out. Now, the issue you've been having is, especially early on, some of the bad teams have really been starting on the road, and now, like, the Guardians are coming back home for a few games. So maybe it starts to even out when some of the good teams hit the road,
okay.
And it starts to and you start to see some mean and median type work. But I do like the Guardians this week, and I do think that they're getting a little bit too many points.
Last thing I've got for you is the Astros. Are you interested? How interested are you in the over-under on the hit-by-pitch thing, or maybe even just them in general? But the hit-by-pitch thing is the feels like to me is the thing most people are talking about this week and last.
Here's the main question I have to ask: do you want to give a team who won 107 games last year free bases during the regular season? Now, I understand hitting them in spring training and making a point, and it start. You know, they've gotten hit by the most pitches of any team in spring training. But I bet them under 96 wins. Their win total's now down to about 94. Now, I don't think you've gotten to the point where the over is worth a bet. I think you'd have to probably get down to like 90, 91 area for me to probably look at it. Now, when you look at the hit pitch totals for the regular season, I would still bet the under. I really would. I believe they were hit by about 66 last year, and I just think the number's a bit inflated for the obvious reasons. And when we get to actual baseball, I think when they hear the boos and they go on the road, those first road trips, you know, you might see one here, you might see one there, but I just don't think it's going to be as exaggerated. But As a content guy, guys, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I made the same prediction yesterday. I just think, like, under is probably right.
Yeah, I think teams will get tired of doing it, right? Like, once the point gets made, you get into June, it's like, what are we doing here? Like, this is ridiculous.
Maybe they'll all get suspended.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well, I think, is really smart. But before these games start, these umpires are going to make it very clear, right? I mean, they're not going to allow this to turn into a circus. They won't.
Right. All right, Evan, thanks a lot. We'll talk next week.
I appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Evan Abrams at Evan H. Abrams on Twitter from the Action Network. I mean, what a great name for a network.
It does imply that there would be some excitement there.
I got to get my Aussie Rules Fantasy League board made. 1 week away. 1 week and 2 hours.
Certainly.
Can you name one Aussie football player ever?
Oh, my God, no.
Let's take a guess at a name. Maybe it's right.
Kirk McElhargy.
McElhargy for 2 days in a row. Kirk McElhargy, Joe. I'm guessing that the next time he plays a Saber soundbite.
Who was that, the coach of the...
Jack McElhargy.
Jack McElhargy was the coach, yeah. Right.
Syracuse.
Jared Dane.
I will go Peter Walworth.
Walworth sounds like a good solid Australian name.
All right, Joe.
Is there a RotoWire Australia app for Australian rules football fantasy drafts?
What site are we on? I don't know yet. I don't know what site we're using.
Okay.
I think it might just be like an Australian rules football site.
Okay.
AFL, it's known as.
Okay.
Kirk McElhargy, Jared Dane, and Peter Walworth.
How would you spell McElhargy?
You figure it out. Any way you want. Any of those guys, actual Australian rules football players at any time in history? I think one of them probably was. I bet one of those is right. We should have asked Evan.
Yeah.
There's an Ethan McElhargy who is the director of video and analytics for Utah football.
Nope.
Is that close?
Nope. Peter Just because Walworth. Someone has the same name. No. Peter Walworth.
Well, he is involved with football.
He's involved with sports. Does not make him Australian. Peter Walworth, Joe.
Physical therapist in the greater Boston area.
Named Peter Walworth?
Yep.
How would you like it if you're driving around right now and your name is Peter Walworth or Jared Dane? And just
or Kirk McElhargy.
Or even Kirk McElhargy. Right, all the same. Especially Kirk McElhargy.
Don't see anybody named Jared Dane.
Anywhere.
That can't be right. There's got to be a Jared Dane in this world somewhere.
Yes, I agree.
100%.
I agree. So that draft is coming up. Then Joe's golf draft is next Sunday. That's then...
One spot left, Bulldog, if you want it. It's there.
One spot.
Sorry, I was texting.
What? One spot left in the golf league.
One spot left in the golf league.
And you're doing baseball, right?
I'm doing baseball, yes.
Last night at the roast, Joe was there with his dad. And I mentioned to your father how Joe was going to be in our baseball league. And he's like, what? He just said, why?
Yeah,
why
very
would,
surprised.
I'm, yeah, he's many of the same mannerisms as you. He's like, yes, I am very surprised with that. By that. I am, like, he was just...
Right.
He was surprised.
I know my kid.
He was surprised.
What's he doing in the baseball right, fantasy yeah. league?
Right. Yeah. No. It's a sickness.
It seems like it.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not speaking for Joe.
Definitely feels that way to me. It's sitting a sickness. In here every day.
Yeah, you're probably infected by now by the fantasy virus. All right. We will take a break. 803-0550 to talk with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
My understanding was that from Botterill's side of things, or at least ownership side of things, they wanted to see how he was going to navigate through this trade deadline before making an ultimate decision about his future. I suspect we're going to hear a little bit of news after the season wraps up over what managerial direction the Buffalo Sabres are going to go in for next season. Yeah, that topic is being discussed and debated internally from the higher-ups within the Buffalo Sabres organization and effectively ownership. So, I mean, they're going to have another discussion after the season once things wrap up. We could definitely see a change there from the GM position with the Buffalo Sabres.
Dave Pagnotta, fourth period on Jason Botterill's future. If you were, we can just mention this for a minute and then maybe get back to it after six. If you were judging Botterill on the deadline, how would you judge him? What did the deadline do?
Nothing.
Ineffectual.
Really nothing. I'm not mad at what they paid to get Wayne Simmonds. I guess I kind of like getting a youngish guy in Cahoon, but no, I don't. It didn't really move. It didn't move the meter. I had a very Monday. I thought Monday. And it's one of these things I'm going to talk myself into ahead of time. But I was sort of dreading Monday. I think I said as much because I'm just worried like nothing significant's going to happen. And like, and I think that was even amplified by the fact that they closed it within 6 points. So some fans, I think, were kind of into that, and I don't want to really get in your way about that, but I really wasn't. And he did not in any way to me help himself. Like if he were in trouble in some way with ownership and they were judging him on the all right, what are you going to do to get this right? I don't see how he helped himself. If he needed to do something to affect his standing, I don't think he moved the meter at all.
I guess the point would be, how does the team play?
Right. If they have a march like they've had many, many years in the last six or seven, like last March, they won two games all month. If they have that kind of march again, I think he's done.
It's just incredible that the playoff drought kind of speaks for itself. It's incredible that the deadline has just so consistently been disappointing. And, you know, like you kind of just said about one thing, not everybody would consider this deadline disappointing. But I just didn't see anything that would likely really affect the outcome of the season. Maybe that's asking too much. But overall, isn't this what usually happens with the Sabres? If you go back forever, isn't this what usually the deadline is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When they were great, the deadline was a disappointment. When they're terrible, it's only who can they unload, and sometimes you don't hate that, but it's still kind of sad. And every other time in the middle is just kind of meaningless. And here, I feel like it was that. There wasn't any, there's still, I mean, because I guess it's natural law for this not to be possible. There's still no Ristolainen trade. I mean, years too late. Just, Frolik is a player they got. Not at the deadline, but it was a trade. He is, according to Pat Malacaro, not going to play tonight. He is the healthy scratch for a league. And, like, were we just talking about Rafi Torres the other day? I mean, that's, three or four general managers ago, whatever it is, how many coaches ago? But, you know, they make a move at the deadline to win in the playoffs. The guy's not, he's in the press box. How many times have they, I mean, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But the right. point is, how did you do? And you went and got a scorer, and he sat, and then you went and got this guy for the penalty kill, and it's still bad. I mean,
Yeah, I saw a tweet this morning from Chad DeDominicis who said, like, just, you know, if you're scoring at home, there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth round pick spent on guys who just are not in the lineup regularly. Frolik is on that list now, too. Colin Miller is kind of, I guess, righted the ship somewhat here. He's been playing pretty regularly and maybe playing the best he's played since he's been here. Maybe there's no coincidence there. And there's another player on that list that VC has had time in the press box too. Like you've spent assets on guys that you, I think the idea is that they're going to help you, and they haven't even been regulars. And like that's not, those aren't huge assets, but they're things. You know, they are picks.
Well, they're picks that the league values highly enough so that when you trade for the player, like, you expect a certain return.
Yeah,
and
once you use them on guys who aren't helping you, you can't use them on other guys that could help you. Like, that's your problem. So
they become obstacles.
Right. So he's burned through some stuff for this season, and
they're all the way at the cap.
Right.
They've been all the way. I mean, Bogosian changed that a little, but they've been all the way at the ceiling. All year.
I want to say I'm still optimistic. And by the way, two of those three were only for 1 year anyway. Like, they were not under contract for longer than this year. Miller has next year still. And I guess I want to still be somewhat bullish on how he's played lately and thinking that he's someone that is going to matter.
Yeah, I like him.
You know, down the road here, at least into next season. But, like, VC and Frolik are, I would assume, going to walk. So
I hope
you paid something to bring them here. And again, something that you can't use to get something else this offseason.
The Sabres have managed to trade a draft pick for Jimmy Vesey twice.
Right.
That's, you know, obviously that was a different situation, but he, of course, did not sign with them after they did that the first time. We will take a break. We're at 803-0550 to talk Sabres here. This is not exactly a report, but it's speculation that there could be a new GM. We've certainly had that ourselves and talked about that numerous times ourselves as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Happy Friday. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.